Welcome to Level Up. I'm Sherelle.
And I'm Danny. And this is the podcast where we talk about health, fitness, and mindset. Building an elite mindset for success.
Today's episode, we're going to be chatting all things that make you successful. There's eight little traits that Danny and I have noted down to discuss today of what separates mediocre from success. And full transparency, like obviously Danny and I aren't the elite of the elite by any means, but I love listening to podcasts and just like elite athletes and people that are really successful in their careers, their relationships, like anything, and almost like studying the way that they think and the things that they do. And doing this, I feel like you can learn so much and apply it to your life. So that's what we're going to talk about today.
Absolutely. So across all of the fields, there are common traits that you and I have noticed that these people do and how they think and how they behave and who they surround themselves with. So yeah, it's rarely their skills. For example, athletes. Okay, so many people are really good at their sport and they have precision, like tennis players, for example. Everyone can hit the ball well and fast and hard and get it back. But what separates the top 10% is their mind. Leaders, yeah, it's just we really need to start paying attention to the people who are the best in their field because there are clues that are there. And it's just so cool to not be a lot of people get jealous of people's success. Oh, well, they're just naturally like that, you know. It's like, well, no, like they put in the physical and mental effort to get to that next level.
Yeah, I feel like even like in sports, obviously there's a layer of like genetics and a lot of that stuff, but there's a lot of people, particularly in like the NBA and like big global sports where like they weren't born talented. They put in a hell of a lot of work. That equally, there's a lot of people that are really successful in business that didn't finish year 12. You know, there's a lot of that, and it does come down to these traits and the work that they've put in and the things that they do on a daily basis and the things that they did in silence the years before they were successful. So again, excited to jump into these things because I just find it so interesting and also empowering because you don't have to be born into privilege and you don't have to be like super intelligent or have the best genetics in the world to make it. You just have to be willing to put in the reps and do some of the things that we're going to be chatting about today.
Exactly right. Our eight key traits. So the first one, work out of love. So you can love what you do, even if you're not undertaking your dream job at that point in time. It's really important to show up to your work and still look for the areas and the positive traits about it. You know, how are you impacting other people? How are you challenging yourself and learning new skills? It doesn't mean you have to have your dream job straight away, but like have the mindset, no matter what your job is, to do it well. Like I used to clean houses when I was younger just for some easy cash. I mean, it's a very hard job physically, but like I didn't feel sad about it or say, oh, you know, I'm cleaning other people's mess, blah, blah, blah. I just made a little game of it. I was probably about 20 saving up for a holiday and I wanted extra cash for that. So I'm like, I'm going to wear this vacuum on my back and just like make a game out of it and pretend, I don't know, I just sort of would create scenarios and say, I'm going to vacuum that damn floor to the best capability and it is going to be spotless. Like you just hold yourself to that standard, whether you're taking the rubbish out, cleaning someone's shit off the floor or living your best life in your best dream job. But it's like just no matter what you're doing, try to just find the positive in it.
Do you think passion for what you do is essential to be successful?
Well, not really, because like I wasn't passionate about doing those things and in the cafes that I used to work at before the fitness industry. But I thought, well, I can either just get really down about my situation because I'm not where I wish to be one day, or I can just make the best of this scenario. Like I have the capability to work, to meet people, to challenge myself, all of those underlying factors that carry on into every single job in the future. Like we need people skills. We need to challenge ourselves. We need to do the grinding, boring work. So it's like you have two choices. You can either make it more miserable for yourself or just try and have fun with it and do your best job. So I feel like passion comes as a byproduct, and passion can also be a mindset.
Yes.
Yeah, there's no rules with what we have to be passionate about. You can sort of force that passion until it becomes a little bit more natural when you have changed your mind or your scenarios. But I really think that you can almost manipulate your passion.
Yeah, that's my I agree. Because you know how, like, when you say, like, work out of love and do what you love, I know there's going to be a lot of people that are... Yeah, I agree. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think with passion, passion is something that's developed over, like, a long period of time because you sort of get good at it. Right? Like, no one likes doing stuff that they aren't good at initially, right? But it's also about finding what motivates you. Like, what motivates you? What makes you tick? Like, is it working with people? Is it just holding yourself to a high standard? Is it money? Is it lifestyle? Like, what actually drives you to do the work that you do? Because when people fall out of love or don't enjoy the job, it's just because they aren't really getting the reward that they want to. And you see this when people earn a lot of money, but they just, like, don't like the way that they're having to earn the money. Like, yep. They don't like the work in it. And it's like, well, finances aren't everything. Like, doing a job is so, I don't know, like, it's 2024. There's a lot of ways to earn money, right? Like, people expect more from their work as well. So you've got to find things that motivate you to push through the suck, because there's a lot of it early on. And I just think for anyone in their early 20s, suck it up. Do the hard work. It's part of me that's like, God, I ate shit for a long time.
Yep.
In so many careers. I used to work on the bunkers, on farms. I used to work as a personal carer, like nursing. Like, I ate shit for such a long time in different careers, and it frustrates me when there's like 22-year-olds that think they should have the perfect job and get paid 100K. Like,
why do you think that is, though? What causes that mindset, you
think? Entitlement.
From where?
Social media.
Yeah.
Comparison. They look at other people like... And look, some people fall into that, right? Some people do fall into it. Whether they're happy or not, it's another story. It doesn't matter. But a lot of people compare and they go, oh, well, why should I should have that too?
Yeah.
Or I'm impatient. Like, I think, unfortunately, social media and the internet and people's standards and the pace of things these days, it's almost made like a warped sense of reality of what you should get. Like, I went to uni for like 4 years to be a beginner, right? And you've got people in their first year of work being like, oh, I should get a pay rise now. Like, it doesn't work like that. You have an apprenticeship for like 4 years, right? It's very, very normal. It's like you're a beginner for a very long period of time at what you do. And I think until you're exceptional at what you do, you have to eat the dirt for a while. And I don't know. I just feel like people are less inclined to do that. Most people are very much, or a lot of people these days are quite lifestyle motivated, which is amazing, which is fine. Each their own can do those things. But there's also a body of work that if you do want to be successful, and this is going to be one of the other traits, you have to be okay with like sucking for a long period of time. I don't know if that makes sense. Do you agree?
Definitely. It's very different. I think across the generations, work ethic, like it's there, but it just looks different. You get like... For example, a lot of the young kids want to grow up and be TikTokers and bloggers. Yeah. I mean, they can still have the same work ethic as their grandparents who, my grandma was an olive picker. Mm. Okay, cool. Like, very different. But it's like the work ethic can be there, but it looks very different. But the only thing with social media, I really think that everyone's just trying to get their big break straight away. Mm. But the people with millions of views, like, that's 1% of all people on social media are that top tier that everyone is aspiring to be. So I feel like there's a false sense of what your life can be. Not to put a damner on it, but even like if you're playing a sport, like I grew up and thought I was going to be a professional tennis player, and then you realize actually, no.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. What's plan B? But a lot of people just think that they're going to be the best.
Yeah.
And, well, you can't just be the best. You need to have a set of physical and mental skills with a bit of luck and genetics to be the best.
Yeah.
So just try and enjoy whatever situation you're in right now and just know you always will need to work hard. I mean, would you say you're living out one of your dream jobs or roles in comparison to all that other farm work that you were saying? Like, what's the shift?
I feel like I'm just at a different stage of life. Like, don't get me wrong, I didn't love shoveling grain on a bunker, but...
What even is a bunker?
I don't even know how I'm going to explain this. You know,
like a ditch
like,
in a ground?
No, like a big like hundreds of thousands of tons of just like grain. And then they've got the big tarps over them. You ever go out country driving, you see the big tarps? Honestly, it's another lifestyle I've got to explain. But it was great money. I used to do that over the summer, is like work on the bunkers. Like ridiculously hard work, like ridiculously laborious work. But I don't know, I never thought about it of, am I passionate about this? Because it was never about that. It was a stepping stone.
Yes.
And I think people are so quick to realize, like so quick to try and find their dream job or their dream house or their dream car or whatever. And it's like, everything's a stepping stone. Like, and that's a mindset in itself, right? Being like, well, I don't really want to do this forever. Of course I don't, but it's a stepping stone because I'm at uni, I'm doing these other things, got to be efficient with my time. Like everything's a stepping stone until you find the thing. And I've 100% found the thing now, but have I reached what I would like the end? Absolutely not. I never will. Like everything I do now inside that is almost a stepping stone. So nothing has to be perfect. And I think that so many people throw in the towel these days because it's not Instagrammable or... Yeah, whatever it is. And I even – do you know what I feel is like even when I purchased my first house, I was so proud of that, but I was like the first thing in my mind is like I really want to do renos.
Yes, you know, that was what's first, next?
What's next?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know what, I'm so caught up and I see all these perfect houses and like, you know, the white walls and everything's pristine. And it's like you are – when I bought it, 28. Like, sit the fuck down. Do you know what I mean? You're not going to have your end home. It's not reality. Everything's a stepping stone. And, you know, we live in such a world where 20-something-year-olds feel that way, right? But then I even talk to my parents and, like you said, their grandparents. It's like, when did they get what they wanted? Mm. Later in life. Mm. Retirement for my parents almost. Like, it took them a very long time to, like, grow a business and do what they're doing. And I think that we have to, in this day and age, people in their 20s and 30s have to know, like, eat that a little bit and be like, why would I expect to have everything that I want at this stage in my life? Of course you won't. Everything's a stepping stone. Everything's a stepping stone, especially early on.
Because you get what you want, or you might be working for 2 years to save up for something really cool, or, you know, a job role that you've been practicing for, and you get it. And then it is like, okay, what's next? You never get to the point where you just wake up and you sit there and go, I could stop trying now for the rest of my life because I've finished the last level of life. You know, I'm going to retire at 40 years old. It's like, well, no.
I'd just work then though, wouldn't I?
You keep working, you keep having little projects, you know, you keep growing, you might go traveling. Like, you will never, ever get to a point, if you're a high achiever, where you're like, I'm finished now.
Yeah.
Like, even look at us, you know, we've bought the gym. You'd think that'd be pretty bloody cool, like, and it is. But then every time Paul and I walk into that space, although we do have appreciation, okay, that needs fixing, we've got to do that. Yep, new machine here. Okay, we'll change that. Got to do the front up. It is never ending. What is it? Oh, you just want more. Yeah. You know how to – you want improvement, you want a challenge, you want a project. It's not like we're ungrateful about – because, you know – we would, that was our life dream, one of them, to have our own gym. And then you get it, then it's like, okay, this is sick, but like, A, the work will never be ending because it's hard work, but then it's like constant improvements on anything, whether you get a new car, the novelty wears off, new house, all right, renos now. So it's a dangerous mindset to always be working for the future.
Yep.
Yes, you can change your scenario so you're more comfortable and flexible. Like, I'm so grateful, and even you know, we've traveled to Melbourne now to record this podcast for work, but like, we're not stuck somewhere doing the same mundane tasks over and over again. We've got that flexibility, which is amazing, but I still have the same mindset from even when before I had all this of like, cool, I'm gonna work for something in the future. You just can't let it take over you. You use it as your fuel and motivation, but you can't just be in the future without enjoying the now, because, you know, I thought once I would reach 30, the mindset would change. But it's like, no, you can literally see out your whole life until the end of your life in that mindset of never appreciating anything, and shit, that's empty.
Yeah, it's hard. But you know what I also see is a lot of people that are really successful, they almost thrive with a little bit of insecurity of it never being enough. because what makes people go for it. I think it's important to absolutely have periods where you force yourself to slow down and take stock and be like, you would have killed for this a couple of years ago. You know, it's so important to have those moments to do that so that you can reap the rewards of what you're doing, enjoy it, like you said, not just always get consumed and moving on to the next thing. But then in that, when we're speaking about work out of love and like find what motivates you, one thing I'm so aware of for me personally, and I've realized this just from coming into business, is one thing that motivates me is just growth, like building something.
Yeah.
Building something with people that I love spending time with. Oh my goodness, that is such a privilege, because in my previous career, like nursing, damn, I had to work with some people that I did not like. Yeah. You know, like, so for me to be able to pick the people I work with, right, hire good people, collaborate with good people, serve good people, and just do good work, like that is so motivating for me that I just enjoy fixing problems. Like I enjoy being like, oh, that's a challenge, what can I do around it, and sort of thinking about it and then building something and not having to run it through it 6 leadership teams to be approved. Like I just get to implement action straight away and problem solve, and growing something with people that I care about is what motivates me.
Yes.
So I know that now, because I was like, oh, you know, when you're trying to look at people like, oh, look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this, and they're showing you the things that motivate them, and I'm like, why don't I care about any of this?
Mm.
And it was just because I wasn't reflecting on the things that motivate me. And that's the stuff that's really important to find for you individually, because for some people it is going to be finances and money and outcome. Like, look at that then. Like, use that as your fuel. Like, use it to drive you. For other people, it won't be. You know, it'll be lifestyle. It'll be flexibility. It'll be being able to take a day off whenever you want to. It'll be being able to support your family or give your partner flexibility, whatever it might be. We all have individual motivators that keep us going, because it sort of moves us into the next one of, like, showing up when you don't feel like it.
Yeah.
If you don't know what motivates you, you will not show up when you don't. You'll be like, this is too hard. And you throw the towel in. But one of the most common traits that all successful people have, I would put my life on it, is when they show up more consistently when they don't want to than the alternative. They always put the reps in, whether they feel like it or not.
Yeah.
It's just a thing that they do on repetition. Sure, everyone has their days where, you know, maybe they don't, but more often than not, they know that doing that work is what matters most.
Unless you're at the breaking point of your mental health and need like a mental health day.
Yes.
Or you're really sick, you should show up. We all have days where we wake up and we're unmotivated, or we just might feel sad or just in a shit mood. Yep. You gotta still show up and put your poker face on, mm-hmm. especially as a leader. Imagine if like something irrelevant to work happened before a big Zoom meeting, or, you know, before I had to face all the staff at work, like, and then we're just there sulking and, you know, you just can't do it.
Mm.
And I'm all about having an environment where you feel safe to talk about things that are going on, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, we need to put that brave face on and just get your ass to work.
100%.
You just have to.
Mm. Do you feel like people struggle with that these days? Do you notice that that's practice a little less than previously?
Look, to be honest, it seems that way.
Yeah.
I can't be definite if it is different, because I wasn't around, you know, in the 80s or whatever to compare
But
to.
I mean, even in the last decade or
but
two.
But you and I are just way more emotionally intelligent now and more self-aware, that I feel like we just really pick up on things more. Like, even if I'm at a cafe and someone's serving me a coffee and they're just like not making eye contact, they don't want to be there. Like, I get pissed off.
Yes.
Only because I know if I was serving that coffee, I'd smile, hi, how you going? I just have really high standards on other people because I know how I would give my best service. Mm. So I definitely notice it more, but I don't know if it's because it's more prevalent or our radar's just super sharp on that, you know what
I
mean?
Totally.
Yeah.
Inside the women's health movement, like the team, we have like an acronym, like the Women's Health Movement Way, like an acronym for it. And the H stands for highest of character. And it literally speaks to that. It's like, show up as your highest of character. Like, on your good days or your bad days, we show up and we represent our highest of character. Like, how do we want to be seen as collective? And I completely resonate, because I feel that, and I'm going to be careful with my words.
Just say it.
For example, actually, I'll flip the script. For example, at my local Coles, right, there is this one guy that works there and he's so lovely. Like every time I check, I go to his checkout, you know, and he does me, how are you going? Oh, yeah, I've had the best weekend. How's your day? And I'm like, oh, he loves this. Yeah. He loves his job, right? And I can't say that that's very common anymore.
No.
And I know a lot of people copped it with lockdowns and things like that in the supermarket. But I'm like, you honestly, like you said, the people at the cafe, it's, and we had it last night out for dinner at a really nice restaurant. Right. I'm like, when people are treated well and they enjoy what they do and they're looked after, they show up with the highest of character.
Yes.
They greet people, they do the extra, they thank them, they smile, they make eye contact. And to us, right, it's like, well, that's a non-negotiable. You just do it. But to a lot of people, it's not.
No.
And I don't know. Like, I think that's just something that's, again, it's like you have it or you don't. You know, like you either show up as your highest of character because that's who you are or you're not. Mm. You know what I mean? This is what, you know, is the difference between elite people and not. It's like not everyone's designed to do that. And that's okay. I've just learned. It's like people that, you know, lose it in the car, like at the traffic light.
Oh, like road rage.
Yeah. Oh, and you're like, what is wrong with you? Damn. Why do you care this much? Some people are just wired differently.
And it's just like the cherry on the cake for them. A lot of people just have built up frustration and they can't regulate until one thing happens. Like the wind could blow differently and then they'll just explode.
So yes. And it is emotional intelligence, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, how emotionally in tune are you with yourself? Like, what's your triggers? Like, all those things. Getting curious about that helps you show up as your highest of character. Yep. Because it doesn't mean that we don't get pissed off.
No, we're not.
It's just
perfect.
Like, well, I'm not going to show it. Like, what's the benefit of doing that?
We know where to show it.
Yeah.
But I don't know, because I don't want to sound like those people that, because, you know, I know Kim K got slammed for being like, just show up and just do the work.
Nobody wants to work these days.
But we're kind of just saying it with the Aussie accent version. But it's like, look, we're all about being advocates for mental health awareness and all of that. But then there is a, I don't know, you still have to challenge yourself a little bit to do things that are uncomfortable. Well, you can't wake up and have a perfect day and go, now I'll go to work because I'm 100% happy.
What were people arguing about with that? What was the conflict with Kim Kardashian?
They probably thought that she didn't work. I don't know. They thought it was probably a bit harsh to say as well.
Okay. Coming from her?
Just anyone.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Depends what you're listening to.
That's what
they probably
mean.
Didn't
like,
expect
if
it from her.
If someone else said it, would it?
Like Gary Vee or something. Yeah. You'd be like, yes, sir.
That's right. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's all about who says it rather than what the actual words are, because it's a generalization to say no one wants to work these days. I think that's the generalization, right? It's
like, it gets thrown around.
Some people don't want to work, right? Like, that's
good
okay.
On them.
But showing up when you don't want to, or showing up when you don't feel like it, I remind myself that's what matters the most.
Yep.
Like, if you don't show up, if you only show up when you want to, so does everyone else.
And you never would show up.
No.
But sometimes when, I remember when I was a young PT, I don't know, I was probably 18, so I was going out, doing all these things, catching up with mates. I'm like, oh, yeah, I better go to work now. And sometimes you just don't want to. Mm. But then, like, I'd be in a pretty average mood going there, but then it makes you in a better mood.
Yeah.
Because you forget about just to work.
Oh,
talking to people.
Yeah.
You forget about your shit mood, and then you just have awesome chats with people. You feel like you're helping people in your job role, and then you finish the shift and it's like, oh, my mood's actually better now.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I think you've got to learn to be able to show up and fake it till you make it. I love that saying.
You do, don't
I do.
You? Some people don't.
Yeah, well, whatever. Works for me. That's what I'm saying for everything. It works for me.
Whatever.
Fake it till you make it. Oh, like, no, it's one of the, I don't know, it's been my motto throughout, like, everything.
Throughout
it's
life,
like,
yeah.
Sometimes you've just got to show up and do it, whether you're prepared or not. You're never going to feel like you're 100% prepared to do anything for the first
time.
No
way.
You're never going to feel that way. So sometimes you have to fake it. I used to have this with nursing where, like, you'd be doing a procedure for the first time or something. Ooh. But, like, you've practiced it on a dummy or a doll or a watermelon or something.
Oh, God.
And, you know, and then, you know, you'd have someone be like, oh, have you done this before? You're like, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you never say
times.
No.
I'm never going to be like, this is my first time taking out sutures.
Oh,
I'm going to do that. This is my first time delivered a placenta. I'm going to do that.
Oh, God.
But I don't know, like, the way you show up with conviction and confidence – like, conviction and confidence in what you do is important for, like, setting the tone, keeping other people calm, showing leadership. Doing those things is essential. Like, even though it might sound like I'm lying,
you have to.
The job
instance.
Had to be done, right? Mm. So, and often when you're a little bit when you're a little bit worried about doing something for the first time, you treat it with care and caution as well. Mm. Like arguably more accidents happen when people feel confident. Yeah. When they're like, yeah, I've got this, I've done this a million times, and they're not careful and they just make a mistake. So making sure that like you give, like you're going to do the prep work, right? But making sure that you're pushing yourself and stretching yourself every day to do something that you don't want to do. Like I think it's so important just to stretch yourself. One tiny thing, like whether it's you putting off emptying your emails or going to the gym or tracking your food ahead of the day or having that one conversation. We've all got one conversation that we're putting off, right? We all do. Stretch yourself every day to do something that you don't want to, because it's going to raise your standards of what you tolerate. It's going to raise your level of discomfort that you're willing to sit in. And I just think that's honestly what makes you successful, is just being willing to do that work.
Exactly. And that's beautiful. Love that there. We'll end that there. And okay, so there's one element of being new to it and faking it till you make it, which is awesome. But then you've got the opposite spectrum where people just identify only with their job.
Oh, yeah.
And that is a dangerous position to be into. And look, I'm pretty, like, I identify pretty hard with what I do in a day to day. But you need to be able to have other things going for you as well and not over identifying with the title. And you do see this a lot in athletes. Like a professional athlete gets injured, they have nothing left.
Yeah.
And that's when, you know, they can spiral and, you know, it gets really bad. So to be good at something, you do need to fully focus on it. But to what extent? Okay, we're not all professional athletes, or we're not, you know, it's hard to say because you need to be good at it, but then you also need to allow time for other elements of life too. Because if that one thing gets taken away, like in lockdown, you know, we identified so hard in competing. Lockdown came. I was like, ooh, shit. Okay, so this chapter's closed now. Yeah, didn't really plan for it. What's plan B? We were okay because we didn't give ourselves any other option than to not be okay and find new things. But, you know, it was a struggle to get around that mindset. So yeah, you see it a lot. You can't over-identify.
When people ask you, like, what do you do, or, like, who you are?
Fuck, it's hard.
It's so hard. Like, what do you say?
Oh, you know, I've got a gym in Sydney.
Yeah, you like, go straight to the what we do, which is so normal. It's just ingrained
in. I feel like that's the question, though. What else are they going to ask? What's your favourite colour? Hi, tell me about you. Hi, I'm Danny. My favourite colour is blue.
I don't know. Like, when you think about it, though, that's the trap, isn't it?
Yes.
That's the trap.
It's so like a social norm to ask people's careers.
It's social norm for people to say like, oh, hi. Like in, when you introduce yourself, like how do you introduce yourself of like who do you identify as? Mm. Is it the work that you do in the world? Like for me, it's always been that. You know, for me, who I am is the work I do in the world and how I serve the world. And sometimes that can be a trap. Like you said, I struggled with that so hard. I think I've shared this a lot of times, but like when I left nursing, I was like, fuck, who am I?
Yeah.
Like, what do I do? Because this before I had that next thing. Like, now it's so clear to me. But when you're in transition phase, when you're, like, moving from one thing to the next, it feels so weird and empty. It's hard to explain, but you do feel quite lost because you do feel like you've lost a part of who you are. You have. You've lost that identity a little bit, but you haven't really because it never goes anywhere. It's just because now it's hard to explain it to people. Like, it's hard to articulate who you are. When you're not really that, but you're not also another thing.
So how would, if I say, hi, Sherelle, tell me about yourself, but it can't be anything work-related. Like, how would you introduce yourself in a room?
I'm an Aquarius.
It's hard. Just go on to the next label.
Yeah.
Wearing a Leo necklace around my thing.
Yeah, love that. Like I said, I don't know.
Because it comes across cocky. Imagine if you're like, yeah, I'm funny. I love my family. I love my friends. I like going to the beach. Like, imagine it would just be a bit... Like, I think it would be cool if someone introduced, but people who are insecure would be like, get the fuck over yourself.
I know. It's though? That's such an Australian thing.
Tall poppy syndrome in Australia.
We struggle to talk about ourselves in Australia. And a lot of, like, Americans, not so much. Like, it's very much an Australian thing. Yeah. I feel like we get that a lot. It's like, don't be too arrogant.
What's the consequence, though?
Of what, being too arrogant?
Yeah. Not even arrogant, just, like, happy with yourself. For some reason, you're made to feel guilty.
Yeah, it's just because most people like to cut other people down.
Because it's easier.
They don't want to feel small, you know. Yeah. So And in Australia, we don't really have to sell ourselves in a lot of places for what for work and things that we do. We don't have to like sell ourselves.
Yes.
Essentially, it's like we do the things, and yeah, I just find it such a different dynamic in Australia and what we do. But with I think having like your titles, and I think it's okay to name that. That is obviously a big part of what you do. Like it's a big part of your identity. It's just acknowledging that if that's what you live through, it can also feel quite empty when it goes away. And that's also okay too. Like I've also personally in my own recent career had a bit of a transition in like who I am, what do I do in my own business? Like what's my role in this now? I was like, am I a coach? I don't really have many clients in this aspect.
Yeah.
I'm coaching a lot of the coaches. And I was like, oh, I need to actually have a shift of like what I do inside my space. Otherwise, I'm still trying to do the things that are holding us all back because I'm not doing the things. So I've had to be like, I'm not necessarily just a fitness coach anymore. I'm an entrepreneur for the women's health movement. I work for the women's health movement. You know, that's what I do. It's not just my little business anymore. So I think we have to like constantly reevaluate our identity and how we're labeling ourselves, because what you say you are and what you do, you'll subconsciously lean into that. So I was getting so stuck in the mud doing the little things because I was like, what am I doing? Like I need to zoom out of this and get out and go do what only I can do in this space. And we all do that to some degree. It's the same as I know a lot of mothers really struggle with mum guilt because all they do is identify themselves as just a mother.
Yeah.
So every day they're just – their purpose is to be a mother, and that's okay. That's amazing. It's obviously a big part of people, but it's not all of you. You know, you still got things outside of you. You still got a life. You still got a career if that's what you want to do. You still got relationships. You still got hobbies and interests. You still got a star sign.
Yeah.
Like you've still got these things that make you uniquely you, with or without the career or the titles or the things around you or the tangible objective stuff. And I think it's good to stretch yourself to think about it. Like even if you can't articulate it, and it's like I said, it's hard to think about. It's just important to challenge your belief system around it.
And be okay with it changing as you change. But it's tricky because we need money to live. Where do you get money? From work.
Yeah.
That's it. So that's why there's so much importance on getting money, because you need it for survival. Mm-hmm. A base level. We all have a different base level on the lifestyle that we like living. But then it gets hard when it's never ending and we think that that's the answer. But having enough money means safety, security, more flexibility. So all of the things that we were listing out essentially does still come from the foundation of money at the end of the day.
Well, money is an exchange, isn't it? It's sort of like...
Like you still need to eat though. Like I'm talking like bare minimum.
Yes.
We need money to eat.
Yep.
And
security.
To survive. So it's just how much do you want?
Yes.
That's the thing. Like my belief is, and not that I've had millions and millions of extra dollars to spend, so I can't talk on that, but I've met a lot of really, really rich people and they're miserable. So it's like it's not worth compromising all facets of your life just to get an amazing paycheck, but you're so busy that you can't actually take your loved ones out to dinner anyway, or you don't really buy yourself nice things. And yeah, so there is that threshold of how much money do you actually want. So yeah, you just see it all the time.
Do you know what I think is so good for people to challenge their beliefs? Is to literally be in circles where your beliefs are like disproven at times. So like you said, when we've got a belief that the more money you have, the better of a life you have and the happier you are. And then
well, not really the more, but you have to have a base level.
Yes. But like you said, well, you've met people that have had millions and you're like, far out, they're not that happy.
No, something's they're way more miserable.
Yeah. But a lot of people have a belief that the more money I have, the happier I'll be.
Yeah.
Right? And they do show this somewhere. I can't remember what the average was. I think it's gone up. But they used to say, like, if you earn $180,000 a year, any more doesn't make you any happier. Like,
oh, that must have gone up now after inflation. Holy
inflation
shit.
But there's a minimum threshold, right? Yeah. It's not as high as what people would probably think.
Yeah.
So that's one. I think that's a great realization for people to have, because what makes us happy? You know, and I also see, you know, you see really successful people and their, you know, maybe their daughter's got cancer or something horrible. And you're like, you know what? Like health is wealth.
Yeah.
You know, there's things that money can't buy, and relationships, you know, like a lot of businesses like a lot of marriages break up in business and things like that, just because sometimes extreme measures take extreme lifestyles and that doesn't align for everyone.
Yeah.
So being in pockets can be so helpful to help you break your beliefs and focus on what really matters.
Mm.
And even one for me personally, a belief I've broken more recently, is that I'm in a business mentorship, like mastermind at the moment, and there's people in there with millions of followers that have no business.
Yeah.
That can't sell, that can't build anything worth attracting an actual brand or a legacy, or they've built their whole following off just being funny,
mm.
you know, and they don't have the lifestyle that they want. And like you said, a lot of people think that, oh, well, millions of followers must mean like an incredible business and lifestyle. Absolutely not. That belief's been shattered
yeah.
by me. I'm like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
There's people in here with like 5,000 followers crushing it.
Yes.
Because they've actually been doing the work behind the scenes. And there's people in here with a million followers that have fucking nothing to show for it besides just a number, which means nothing. So having your beliefs absolutely shattered, it helps you reevaluate your own beliefs and also what's important for you. It's like, okay, well, what do I really want here? Like, what's the actual thing that I want? Because often we get swept up in chasing the wrong things, the wrong metrics. And I don't know, I love that stuff. I know a lot of people don't, you know, beliefs are tricky to challenge, but I love when my beliefs are really stretched and I'm like, heck, I didn't think that.
It's all fake, the followers and, you know, because to become, and this moves on to our next point of committing to continuous growth and mastery. Mm. To get good at a skill, you have to practice it over and over and over and over again. The people with millions of followers, aside from the ones who grew their account when it was easy,
mm.
they are committing to the skill of social media.
Mm.
Doesn't mean you get paid for that.
No.
So what I see a lot in the fitness industry, and I know you would as well, working with coaches and even ones who want jobs at Paddo, mm. it's like, great, they've finished their studies, which is awesome. We're not a commercial gym, so we just don't have leads coming through for people. We don't want that, by the way. We want sort of established coaches who have some sort of life experience, but we still get a lot of coaches reaching out for a job.
Mm.
Their focus is only on social media. It's like, cool, how many clients have you worked with? Like, or what's the plan to get new clients? And everything only ever goes back to social media.
Are these in-person personal trainers that are wanting to come in and start a business?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, okay. Or even just new ones who want to start an online business.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, cool. Like, you've just spent all your money on a new camera. You've spent all your time planning content and outsourcing and the microphones. Like, okay, that's good. I understand, you know, you and I take social media seriously. It is important for business, but everyone has forgotten the only way to be an amazing trainer is to actually train people, not talking about the training to a camera when you've never really trained
doing
people.
The fucking training.
Just do the training. Train yourself.
Yeah.
People don't do that either.
Yeah.
They just talk about training on a camera and what's optimal. It's like there's no proof.
Yeah, the proof's
don't
important.
Make that mistake, but you just see it everywhere.
Mm.
It's crazy.
Hey, guys, I hope you're enjoying the episode. If you are, make sure that you take a screenshot, upload it to your socials, and don't forget to tag us.
Unpopular opinion incoming. I've been thinking about this. A lot of people do exactly that, where they talk about the work, they don't do it.
Yeah.
And if you want to establish anything, like this isn't on the plan, but like you have to be inspiring. You have to be worth following.
Yeah.
Not on social media, but like in real life. Like you have to be, you have to do insane things, because there are people out there that are hugely successful just simply because of what they do and who they are and what they practice on a daily basis. So you can't skip that layer. Everyone's trying to skip it and going straight to the content creation to talk about things that they haven't even done before.
Yeah.
It's like, show me, right? Yes. Like, show me. Like, I don't know. I see that a lot, because I feel like people would get so much further if they documented what they're doing rather than speaking about facts, information, or what they would like to do, or what they're doing with clients. Like, document what you're doing, because you don't have to be an expert. You just have to be worth following, and you just have to be inspiring to the people around you, and you have to attract the clients that you want to serve, and you have to role model. Like, role model it. You'll get so much further doing that than just, I don't know, like you said, talking through a back squat. I don't know if anyone's noticed this, but like, information's everywhere. know what I mean? Like contributing to all the freaking noise is just like, it's not going to get you very far. You're better off putting the work in, documenting what you're doing and just allowing other people to be inspired by you. Like
people don't think they're inspiring though. That's why.
Why? Everyone's inspiring. Everyone has a story. Everyone has a story. And like I said, if you put the work in, you do something that you love and you show up when you don't want to and you practice confidence and you do all the things that we're doing today, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like that's vulnerability. That's actually being authentic. Like everyone talks about it, but no one practices it. It's like you don't need a script. Fuck, you don't even need a camera, right? Just like show up as you are and do it. Do the foundational work. Like it's okay. Everyone wants to skip steps. And it's like, no, like put that money, invest back into yourself to be better.
Yeah.
And then just, yeah, repeat, rinse and repeat. Don't jump to the next level and just hire a videographer. It just makes no sense to me.
I know, but it is that false sense of, you know, people think followers equal money. And yeah, in some instances it does, but like rarely. And then even people that I meet for the first time, I think they just think that you and I or successful people, you know, we're relatively successful in our field, we like to think, but, you know, it varies. They just think that they were like that overnight or even a top athlete. Oh, no, they were just born like that. They were naturally good, you know. No, actually, you don't see the work behind the scenes that we have all done. It's just not documented.
Yes.
You don't sit there filming the out, just set your camera up in a time lapse of 10 hours of you on the computer.
No, it's boring.
You don't set it up. Like you don't show that. No one really shows it. Or when they do, it's a bit fake and cringe anyway and you just tune out. I'm like, oh.
Jeez, I do that sometimes.
No, yours is cute. Lapse. Yours is cute. But, like, you know, some people, as soon as that video is over there,
I know what Danny really does.
You know what I mean? No. So it's like the real work is rarely documented. And that's giving people a false sense of what success, what it takes to be successful.
Yeah. Do you know what? So funny. She'll listen to this.
No.
I was exchanging some voice notes with a client previously. And she was, she's a fitness coach, she's getting into the things, et cetera, doing the stuff. And she was just asking me it was about something that she wanted me to tell her what she knew I was going to say to her. She was asking me some questions about like, oh, you know, I really want to start posting on social media, but I'm just worried about like my friends sort of thinking I'm being a bit cringe or, you know, et cetera. Like, you know, when you've got like small following personal account, like, and you're worried about what your friends and family.
Yeah.
Totally did that at the start. I was on private. Anyways, and my like blunt advice as I am, I'm just like, look, if that's, they're not your friends, if they're going to cringe at you and like, let them cringe. Let them
depends
cringe.
Depends what you're posting though. Is it get ready with me showing your ass in the first thing?
No, it's genuine, just normal stuff. You know what I mean? Like, let's be real. Those people that have that belief, they're not posting get ready with me. They're not. They're not. They're like, I just want to post my back squat and give some tips to people and help others, which is so amazing.
Thank you.
Do that. But I resonate with that because 100% I felt like that at the start. Mm-hmm. You know, absolutely. But then my advice with her was like, look, please don't compare yourself to me or anyone else that isn't at your exact level. You know, like if I was giving you advice because I was in the same situation 5-6 years ago, I would have just said this. And I was like, you just stop looking at people that are 5 years ahead of you. It's not helpful. Like it's unfair. It's unfair for you to compare yourself against someone else because then what do these people do when they do that? Is they go out and they buy a camera and they do all the things and they try and invest the same amount of resources and energy into a stage that you're not at. Right. And the same for us. Like, I don't look at like what all these exceptional people are that have been in business for 15 years are doing. I don't compare myself to them because that's unfair on me.
Yeah.
Like I'm like 3 years into this. Like you got to cut yourself some grace and like, you know, give yourself some self-compassion, like give yourself some tough love and do the work, but don't set unrealistic expectations for yourself. And at the end of the day, something I tell myself is like, no one gives a fuck. Like, no one actually cares.
No.
Let them cringe. Let them unfollow you. Trim the fat. Like, who cares? Cut them off. Move on. You know, you've got to be able to have that, I don't know, a little bit of like a prick about you of being like, if people don't like what I'm doing, it's okay that they unfollow me. In fact, I want them to. Like, if people don't like the content I'm putting out, then that's okay. They don't have to. I'm not for everyone.
Yeah. You shouldn't try and make content for every single human on the planet. Because then your message is not clear and it's so diluted. Yep. So the more specific you are in talking about a topic, the less people will relate or be interested, but at least you'll be able to have a great conversation with those people and actually make a difference in their world. So there's no point talking a little bit about training, a bit about nutrition, a bit about, I don't know, tennis, yeah. Random topics when you just want to actually specialize in one job role.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I mean? So just like be okay with not pleasing everyone. Imagine if you and I started a singing Instagram, you know, for singers, even though we're really good singers, but it's like, no, just let's just stick with our strengths. And people need to remember that. It's why would you want 5 million followers of people that don't actually, A, they're not going to buy your service anyway, and B, they don't even really care about you. It's like, have a small group of people, like-minded people who are learning from you. You can learn from them and you're both passionate about that one area. That's how it should be done. But again, it's that illusion of numbers equaling success.
Yeah.
It is data-driven. Look, all of a sudden, if you post one thing and you lose thousands of followers, you're okay. I'll just note that down.
What'd you do? Like, were you racist?
Happened.
Like,
yeah. Something happened there.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's okay. It's normal to lose followers.
Yeah. It's normal to lose, like, it's normal to lose, like, a lot
and
of
friends.
Things.
And
yeah, it's normal. Like I said, sometimes you just got to, like, trim the fat to make room for the better stuff. You know, and you do that in so many different layers. At times it feels like you're losing things, whether it's like identity or friends, family, a job, skills. Like sometimes it feels like you're going backwards, but sometimes it's actually just redirection to help you find like what you should be doing. And it's important to embrace that. And I know it's uncomfortable. And like I said, it's really hard. It's not supposed to be easy. Why should it feel easy? You know, there's a little bit of prick about me when I'm like, it doesn't, you don't deserve it to feel easy because you haven't done it for long enough yet. Like everything gets easier when you get better at it. But like everyone starts off as a beginner and everyone sucks at the start and that's okay. So you have to like compare yourself to that level, not to elite or some people that have been doing this for 10 years and make it look seamless because you didn't see the 15 cuts that they did before it.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And this is the long game. So we have to be okay with committing to the long haul because for the people that do make that one thing look easy that you might be comparing yourself to, their eyes are on something else or someone else that's doing something that's hard for them. So it's this never-ending battle of getting really good at things, it becomes easy, and then finding the next challenge. Mm. Then we get to that next challenge. It's easy, and then we look for the next challenge. It's literally never-ending. And I can confidently say that because if I rewound 10 years and then could just have a little glimpse of my life now, I would have thought, oh, that's it. Like, she's
I've
done enough. She's worked hard enough. She's got pretty cool things now and an awesome lifestyle. But now I'm actually here in my brain and body going, what's next? And it's the same damn voices that I had when I was 20.
Yep.
So I just feel like it's literally never ending. But that realization was awesome to have because then I can just enjoy the journey, as cliche as that sounds. And I still have days that are very hard, but it's like, this is forever. Challenges will be forever. Get okay with that idea. Yeah. Like, what's the point of living if everything's just really cruisy and easy you're not challenging yourself?
Yeah. You have to feel like you're being stretched. I don't know if anyone else will relate to this, but like if I'm not being challenged, I usually move on and find something
it's harder. Boring.
You get bored. We get bored. Sometimes we don't even notice it. We're just like, I'm going to do something else.
Yes.
People do this with training all the time. They're like, oh, I'm going to start Pilates. You know, they just want like a new challenge and that's okay, but realize that that's the thing. It's not because you've like outgrown something. It's just because you're not being challenged enough and you need to find new ways to stretch yourself inside what you're currently doing and not get too distracted along the way.
Yeah.
Like you need to be able to recognize, oh, I'm just actually getting a little bit bored here, you know, and I'm not stretching myself enough to grow.
Because the feelings of stretching yourself are gross. Like you get nervous, you get butterflies. Even before the podcast, I get a bit jittery or start talking even more shit because I'm a bit nervous and that's my coping mechanism, you know, make a few more lame jokes. But like you feel so damn good when you're doing the thing and then after. Like you just have to get over those feelings that come up before doing something scary.
Yes.
Or even the head noise that comes up before doing something scary and then just do the thing and you're going to be so happy with yourself after.
Totally. I'm such a I chase dopamine. Like I don't jump out of planes, but I do fly planes.
Yeah, like, man, that's worse.
No way. Like strap me
you
in.
Reckon?
I don't know why people are jumping out of them.
True.
Like I'll totally fly before I'll fall.
Yeah, good.
But I love that feeling. Like it's the best feeling.
Do you get nervous beforehand or jittery or
before what?
Flying a plane.
Yeah. I love it though.
Yeah.
Because I'm not like a frequent like weekly flyer. Yeah. Like I might only do it every couple of months or something when I go home. I still get that. But I'm like, I've got all the skills that I need. Like, I'm okay. Yeah. You know, like, I'm fine. But I still get that. And like I said, sometimes I think it's so great to have one thing that you practice that makes you uncomfortable.
Mm.
I think it's so good. Like, I used to, when I was learning to fly, I got my pilot's license when I was 18. And I still remember, I was 17. I still remember my first solo flight. Can I tell you the story? It was absolutely cooked. So my my instructor at the time, he was like older. He's probably like 70s. Incredible instructor. Like so incredible. Just so skilled. Like just the most insane brain. Unfortunately, now he's got Alzheimer's. But yeah, it makes me so sad. But he was just like a genius. He'd build planes too, and he used to work for CASA. So like every time there was a plane crash, he'd go out investigate it and sort of like say,
hopefully
like, what
it wasn't
happened.
There regularly.
Well, they, you know, they did. Anyways, he was my instructor. I was very fortunate to learn from him. But I remember my first solo flight. He literally like you just do touch and goes where you go around the aerodrome and land and take off, like, and just do that. So you sort of learn.
Oh.
Anyways, and one time he landed and he's like, "Can you just stop?" So I stopped. Plane and he just opened the door and he's like, "Off you go," and shut the door.
What do you mean?
He just got out of the plane.
He got out of the plane.
He's like, "You'll be right. You can do a couple on your
own." And then
what? Well, and I was like, "Holy shit!" I just was like, I was like 17. Anyways, I remember. So when you're flying a plane, you've got these things on your feet, these rudders that you push on the floor, and that's how you steer a plane, not with the thing.
Oh, so you don't go like a car steering.
No, that tips the wing when you're in the air. God. But when you're on the ground and taking off, you use rudders on the floor where your feet are. My legs are so short that Dad had to build these bricks I could reach. Anyways, I remember taking off, and when you take off, you've got to push your left foot down quite hard on the rudder, like when you're taking off, just the way the plane goes. Anyways, and I remember I was so nervous that my leg was like doing this and I couldn't keep the pressure. Anyways, moral of the story is I'm still here.
You're here.
But I love that feeling. And obviously you don't have to fly planes, but like...
You're nuts.
No. Everyone needs to have one thing. Training. I love training for that thing.
Yeah.
Everyone has to
have one.
If
you can fly an airplane, we can at least do something less scary.
We can all
scary.
Do a heavy squat, right? But you know when you load up and you're like, this is a heavy weight. And you get a little bit nervous and then you do it. And how good does it feel? That feeling of like, wow, I put the work in, I put the time in, me landing the plane and being like, holy shit, I just did that for the first time.
Done.
That feeling builds so much confidence in yourself and your ability. And it also reinforces doing the work when you don't want to.
Yes.
Like there are so many times, the first time I ever flew a plane, I vomited.
On your own in this same story, was it?
No. I had the instructor with me, thank God. But when, you know when you're driving
a car?
Was
he used to it, the 70-year-old? He's like, this happens all the time, love.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Oh.
But you know when you're driving a car, you don't get sick?
Yeah.
And you know when you're a passenger, you get sick?
Yeah, same motion thing sickness.
Yeah, with flying a plane when I was like, fuck. Oh, anyways, God. I was like, sorry, I vomited in my dad's jumper.
Oh, dude. they don't have bags for you?
Well, I forgot. I was like, I'll be right. I've flown a lot with Dad. Anyways. I was like, I remember that first lesson where I was like vomited in, and I thought to myself, I was like 16 when I started flying. I was like, I can't do this.
Well, that would put you off a little bit.
Yeah, but you know, like again, this might sound a bit savage. I feel like it sounds a bit savage, but we've all got to have like something that, like just because you suck at the start and you can't tolerate it doesn't mean you can't do it.
Yes.
You know, you're going to have all of those things. It's like competing when we first did it.
Yes.
Jeez. I look back at posing videos. Do you ever look at them?
No.
I remember when Beck competed, I filmed her first ever video, right, of her posing at my place. No. I was talking through her quarter turns at the start, and she won't mind me saying this, but she was fucking shocking. And I said to her, we're filming this. And she's like, I don't know. And I was like, trust me. You will look back on this and thank me for capturing this moment because, I know you'll put the reps in, you'll do the work. And her stage presence was incredible. She absolutely killed it because she practiced every single day. She hired a posing coach and she put the work in to the point that there's no way she couldn't walk on that stage without 100% confidence.
Yeah.
She'd practice it in her sleep. Mm. So all these things is... A lot of people don't want to document the shit stage and a lot of people don't want to push through that initial period, and that's why most people don't become successful.
They give up too early. Yeah.
That's when the work matters the most.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, like I said, it sounds a bit extreme, but I remember thinking, like, my body will get used to this.
Yeah.
It'll adapt. It we does. Are so adaptable physically, mentally, emotionally. We will adapt and adjust. If you want it bad enough, you'll do it.
Yeah, it's like with progressive overload in the gym, I believe that you have to progressively overload your emotions. Like, that nervous feeling that comes up where, you know, the one where your body doesn't know whether you're nervous or excitement or excited, it's like you feel a bit sick in the stomach, you are shaking, you can't really think straight, you can't focus. You need to put yourself in that state of fight or flight, whatever it is, to then be able to know how to regulate it.
Yes.
Because if you're not used to that feeling, you will just let it sweep you away.
Mm-hmm.
Before, you know, we've all done public speaking, whether it's at school or for work, the first experience is often very traumatizing. Yep. And you get nervous and then you forget your words and you just feel just so embarrassed. Mm. And then not coming back to that, I can understand why you wouldn't.
Mm.
Like your first time flying a plane, you get why you probably wouldn't want that again. But it's like, well, okay, these feelings next time are going to come up again. What can I do? Practice my breathing. You know, you have these little routines beforehand, and you can also like create a new dialogue around those feelings, right? And, you know, before I do my seminars, I still notice it. Not as much on the podcast because, I don't know, it's super chill, but just when you put yourself in experiences that you don't do as regularly now, we do this quite often, you learn, okay, like these feelings will come up.
Mm-hmm.
You can still smile. You just slow down a little bit, breathe a bit more. It's just because this is your body getting ready for something that will require a lot of energy and focus, and it's important to you.
Yeah.
So that's my new dialogue. Whereas when I was younger and I didn't really understand any of these things, even with the first time competing, like it was just such an influx of all of those feelings that I really did not have any control over my thoughts or body, shaking everywhere. You don't remember anything. And then the dialogue is like, I'm nervous, I suck, I shouldn't be here, blah, blah, blah.
Told you so.
Like, why are we doing this? Like, you really need to like progressively overload your capability to deal with those feelings, to use it for your example.
Mm.
And in some instances, they might not show up as regularly if you're well prepared, you're used to it. But look, there's still times where it's going to show up and then you're like, oh, well, we're here now. These feelings are here now.
Yep.
What can we do?
Yep.
Get on with it.
Yep, totally. I mean, sometimes you have to ask yourself, you're like, am I anxious or am I just excited? And sometimes it
probably
can...
Probably both.
But if you say you're anxious, you'll become more anxious.
Yeah.
If you say you're excited, you'll become more excited.
Yeah.
You know, I do firmly believe our mind controls our body a lot of the times. Like if you tell yourself, oh, I'm worried about this, like, you know, it's not helpful.
No.
You have to almost... And this is the whole fake it till you make it. Like you can really trick yourself. You know, you can trick yourself. It's like when you're at the gym, you're like, oh, I'll just have an easy session. And then when you get there and you're like, actually, I'm feeling pretty good. Like there's lots of ways you can trick yourself to start getting momentum, because motivation follows momentum, right? Not the other way around. People think that they're going to feel motivated or energized to do something. It's not the case. Once you get momentum, then things get easier from then and you're more likely to do the hard work. So you've got to lean into that and be okay with things not feeling easy. And I always say to myself, like, if it was easy, everyone else would be doing it and have it.
Exactly.
Like, I want something what other people don't have. Like, I'm willing to put the work in.
Yeah.
Like, I'm willing to do that. And I'm willing to make sacrifices. And I'm willing to vomit in my sweater.
Yeah.
I'm willing to do those things, right? There's a reason why a lot of people don't achieve things that are hard. And it's because they're hard. So why would you expect it to feel easy? It's just not the way it works. But sometimes we just have to have those conversations with ourselves, because it's all well and good to say it. And intellectually, everyone knows it. But when you're going through the hard times, you have to remind yourself, this is the work that matters the most. Because when it's easy, it's easy. And when I want to do it, I'll do it. But when I don't do it, I still do it, right? And you have to have that non-negotiable for yourself, is to be like, when I don't want to do it, it's when it matters the most.
Yeah. Another trait that successful people have is just putting in that work, but then if it doesn't go their way, yeah, it sucks. Mm. But don't take it so personally. Know that not everything you do on the first try is going to yield the outcome that you dream of, no matter on what scale. So I remember, the first WBFF I did, I thought I was going to win. I don't know why. I was so confident. I'm like,
love ignorance.
And then that was the one where, you know, Bambi on Ice came on stage. They thought they were at the Disney show. It was the wrong show. They go, what the hell's Bambi doing on stage? That was me. And then I didn't win. And then I was a bit sad. I'm like, well, this is shit. Embarrassed.
Was that our first show that we did together?
Yeah, the main show. And I was carrying on like a ball chop backstage. Yeah, you were listening to your rap music concentrating and I became the class clown because I was nervous. Aww. I didn't know they were my coping mechanisms.
Yeah.
And look, they still are now and I love it. But like it was in full swing behind that show, behind the curtain. So then, yeah, like I got down about it. But then it's like, okay, cool. You didn't earn the right to win that first show. Like here are the things that you need to work on coming forward. You know, it's like, even to the extent of Roger Federer, he was like the all-time greatest tennis player for such a long time. When he was younger, he was a little shit on the court. He was an absolute little shit. Like
Nick Kyrgios now.
Oh, yeah. That's another podcast. We won't talk about Aussies because who knows who listens to these podcasts. We got connections, mate.
Thanks, Danny, for being my sounding board.
But then he got his act together and, you know, you're down and out and then he became one of the all-times Federer. Yeah. So anyway, made me butcher my story. No, but that's the thing. It's like don't take the failure so personally. Or your successes.
Yeah.
Ride them out, enjoy them, but know that they can be short-lived and then the next day after celebrating you go back to work. And then keep going.
Yep.
So.
Yep. I actually think it's Kobe Bryant that says this one because this is like I'm quoting Luke, but never too high, never too low.
Yeah.
Like.
That's cool.
Don't let yourself get too high with the wins so that you don't go so low with the losses. And it's something I try and do because I think that it goes both ways. Like sometimes you can get so down in the dumps when things don't go to plan. And then equally you can ride the high so high when things go really well. But if you ride the high really high, you're going to ride the lows too. You can't really have one without the other. So you have to try and find the middle ground, what we were talking about earlier, where you're like, yes, this has gone well. Like, I'm really proud of myself. Sit in it, acknowledge it, own it. But then move on, right? And be like, yeah, that's really great. But if all this went away tomorrow, I'm still a great person. You know, you can't get too attached to your success or your losses at the end of the day. And that's something that I've definitely learnt because I used to get so swept away in everything that would happen to me, whether it was highs or lows. I'd get so caught up in it. It's really hard not to.
Yeah.
And that's why having other things in your life and other things that you're practicing and trying to master as well is so important because don't let your ego get to you. You know, like it's so easy to think that you're so successful and everything's working out and you're killing it. You're fucking not in everything. that's me talking to myself. That's me talking to myself. Sorry, guys. Not talking to you. But I like to remind myself that. I'm like, don't ever get too cocky.
Yeah.
You know, because once you think you've made it, you've lost. You know, you've always got to have that white belt mentality of like knowing there's work to be done. I'm not finished here. Like if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. Like you're just not stretching yourself enough. And it's really important to have that mindset if you want to continue to grow and keep pushing yourself forward.
It's one thing to get that confidence and you mentioned ego, like an ego boost from other people. Like it feels nice a little bit, but I think you and I are way too stubborn to like take people's opinions so literally and be like, oh, we must be cool because Jane from across the street said so. It's like you can't live your life just wanting praise from other people because you can't control it.
No.
You can try and get it from people by manipulating who you ask for that praise, but then it's like, well, what if it all turns?
Mm.
You know, I'm going to name drop Taylor Swift for the engagement, but I was watching her documentary on the aeroplane and look, whether you like Taylor Swift or not, I don't care. She's the most talked about person right now and one of the most successful musicians worldwide currently. So before I go, oh, I hate Taylor Swift, blah,
I
blah,
love
blah.
Taylor Swift.
Exactly, but a lot of people don't.
Oh,
so
well, you're not fucking Taylor Swift.
You're not. Like, it's like, okay, instead of spending all of your energy hating on someone who's at their peak right now, why don't you actually go, wow, I wonder how she got to just fill stadiums worldwide with like nearly 100,000 people per stadium? Like, why is she the most sought out person? What is that mentality?
Take notes.
Yeah. Like that's how I love to look at people who are the absolute top 1% in their field rather than judging whether you like what they do or not. Just take note. And you and I love doing that rather than putting our bias on the situation. And one of the big things with her was just not taking criticism because
so hard.
I just can't believe, and even on social media as a whole right now, I love reading comment sections, but same. There is just so much negativity, particularly on celebrity posts, that I just don't know what that shift is, but it is so negative. And at the end of the day, they're still humans.
Yeah, people like, forget that.
How do they just keep showing up is beyond me. Mm. And yes, you have some of them who just have to disappear or they go down a really bad path. And look, imagine having paparazzis around you all the time judging you. I couldn't do it. But like for the ones that just show up with a smile and just keep living their passion, they do photos and so lovely to people when there's just been like thousands of negative comments. I just don't know how they do it, but they just can do it. They find a way to block out the noise. Mm. They must all have therapists or something, but like it just blows my mind on how well they can block out negativity.
Mm. Did you hear about how Taylor Swift prepared for the concert physically? Wild.
What?
Wild. So to prepare herself physically for her tour, because I think she did like 45 songs at her concert.
Yeah, it was something crazy.
Which 3 hours I think it was. Mm. She ran on a treadmill singing for 3 hours in line with the tune, in her shoes too. So when it was a fast song, she'd turn the treadmill up and sing and run. And when it was a slow song, she'd turn it down. Still running though.
Yes.
Because it's physically insane what they have to do up there. Not only
that's cool.
I lose my voice after a podcast day. I can't imagine
her out for the next
Swiftie
week.
Swiftie goes on. But then physically they're performing, they're dancing, right? And we're talking about the traits of the elite, right? If that wasn't Taylor Swift, that'd be called obsessed.
Yeah.
Or, oh, that's too much. You know, whatever. Look at her. Mm. Like, it speaks for itself. But that was how she physically prepared herself to get ready for the concert.
There's just hours and hours and years and years of work.
The work that people don't see. You don't see her post and her treadmill runs on Instagram.
I didn't know that one.
Yeah. But that's what – you don't see that.
Mm.
You do not see the work that gets done. Do you think she woke up every day and wanted to do that?
No.
Absolutely not.
Not at all.
But no one sees the work that's done in silence, but it's what matters most.
But why do people think that that doesn't happen then? It's like, why do you think that you're just going to be elite without doing anything?
True successful people are out there doing that stuff.
Yeah.
They're not posting about it. They're doing it.
Yeah.
Imagine how hard that would be doing it already, let alone just setting your tripod up and being like, oh, I better show people. Like, it's probably just come up in a passing interview or something like that where she's like, of course I did that. It's what it takes.
Yeah, that's true, because there are a lot of fake successful people, people who love talking about the success they're going to have.
Not living it.
And they're not actually.
Yep, wild. Mm. One quote I wanted to share on that, because a big part of being successful is that you have to be willing to challenge your biases and beliefs. And that's what we've been speaking about the whole time of what it takes to actually be successful in anything that you do. And I found this quote by good old James Clear. We always give him a shout out, don't we? But most people don't want accurate information. They want validating information. Growth requires you to be open to unlearning ideas that previously served you. So true. Mm. It's the whole thing around show me the research article. Like, everyone wants information when it validates what they believe. But no one wants the facts when it goes against their beliefs. Even if they're true or not, people will go to insane lengths to find facts and evidence that support their current biases. But as soon as people are challenged to think differently because it doesn't align with the beliefs they've had for years and years and years, maybe what they sell or what they preach or what they do, it's you're wrong. Well, that's not true. Mm. Or I believe you. Or show me the evidence.
Oh,
kills me.
Like that.
But if you can have a growth mindset and a true white belt mentality, that means you question your current way of thinking and doing, even if it hurts, even if it triggers you, even if it goes against what you've believed for years, because we've all been proven wrong at times. Heck, there's a period where I was wearing waist trainers and taking fat-burning teas. Like, we've all been proven wrong, but, man, I trust people that just own that. They go, you know what? I was wrong.
Yeah.
I trust those people. But it's rare these days. It's rare to find people that admit that maybe there's a better way of doing things and don't just double down on their current biases.
No, because it's a dead end. Imagine if you were wearing your waist trainers, promoting it because that's what you thought was best, found out that it's actually not good, but then kept promoting it. Not only are you feeling inauthentic, but you're circle or the people that you're talking to will realize that you're full of shit.
Mm.
So then that's your ceiling. You wouldn't be here today with your career that has continued to evolve. You would have literally just been known as the waist trainer girl who has, like, and that's it. Like, yeah. So I don't know why people would just, like, you know why, because people don't like feeling wrong. But yeah. Rather than thinking I'm right or wrong, just think, okay, I believe that that was true at the time and I put my heart and soul into trying to tell others about it. I realized that there's a better option. Now I'm just going to find a better option and talk about that. Like, then it's never ending. Then your career can last forever and your growth is continual. So it just blows my mind that people would rather just fight for something that they've known that is wrong just because they didn't want to admit they're wrong. Mm. Like, what is that? Why?
Ego.
But then you just can't get any further. So what's the point?
Because people think that they're already at the pinnacle.
Oh, they think that's like, I'm here now and this is it. Yeah. I'm going to stay here.
I mean, there's things that I probably preach now that are wrong that I'll figure out later on.
You'll figure it out.
Oh, totally.
You're right about
But there's
everything.
A difference between people that are, you know how you see some people and they're talking about something and you sort of like, yeah, it's not quite right. But they like believe it.
Yeah, it's cute.
I'm
they're
like,
having a crack.
For them. Good on them.
Like, as long as it's not harming anyone.
As long as it's not harmful. But
yeah,
like a little bit of information can be really dangerous because people just get the outside of it and go, oh, you know, and they don't have the nuance or the context to apply it to different scenarios. And true experts and professionals will always say it depends. And they'll always use like probably, might, possibility. They'll always use words like that. They're never like a matter of fact.
You're giving
yes,
away
no.
our secrets.
What?
Nah. Oh, using it depends.
Yeah, it depends. It's cop out, guys. but you'll just notice, whereas a lot of other people that are like, the one exercise that you need to blast belly fat.
Oh, yeah.
Like, or, yeah, I don't know, all these people that just say shit like that, like, unfollow. It's like the number one thing that you can be like, if someone doesn't know what they're talking about, they will give blunt, straightforward answers.
Yep.
Right? And they'll say the only thing, or this is a must do, or you must have. Like, they'll say it like that. And very obvious. It's just like marketing. But like I said, a lot of experts like, you know, Andrew Huberman and stuff like that, they always like, look, I'm not a professional in this field. It's like, you're more qualified than half the people on the internet giving out advice and you think that you're not quite qualified in this. It's mind-boggling.
Yeah.
But the more you learn, the less you know.
Yeah.
Right? And true experts understand that because they scratch the surface and they find all this in-depth, nuanced information where it really does depend on the micro, tiny details of person to person.
Yeah.
And we all are so individualized in how we think, how we function, our bodies, our anatomy, our genetics, like everything really does matter. So this is why when you're getting information, like have to consume things with a grain of salt and really apply it with like a lens of like it does depend on so many variables. Like don't take anything on face value.
Yeah. The more you learn, the more you feel like you don't know.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like those people that talk the loudest, they talk the most, they feel like they know it all. I imagine their brain to be like a little pea in their head. Like, you know what I mean? Like, shit. Like, you're really annoying. Yeah. I feel really sorry for you. But if you just opened your mind a little bit more and tried to be open-minded to a new way of thinking, like, you would be so much happier and people would like you more.
Yeah. And honestly, like, we all have beliefs that we don't know we believe in. Like we all have really strong biases. Our strongest beliefs are the ones that we can't see. And I just challenge people to think about every time you say you should or you couldn't or no or nah, every time you disagree with something and you catch yourself being pretty firm, like just get curious about it. Because I have beliefs. I 100% have strong beliefs. But sometimes you can't see them. Sometimes you know they're there. Sometimes you're like, yeah, I know that's a belief. I'm okay with it. You know, and it's just about recognizing that we all have that.
Yeah. And to finish off, I think, you know, we've mentioned 8 common traits.
Do you want to wrap them up? Because I feel like...
We're going to wrap it up. This is me wrapping it up.
No, list them off.
Oh, I'll just say my thing and you can read them out.
Rightio.
You can do that. It's a mindset. Once you make up your mind that you're going to be an elite human, then everything will fall into place. So it starts by faking it until you make it, by realizing, hang on, I'm going to challenge my old beliefs and the way of living that I thought had to be. I'm going to try something new. I'm going to apply myself. I'm going to ask questions and have a growth mindset. imagine that you're already in the space in which you wish to be, and then you will get there a lot easier and a lot quicker because you won't be relying on validation from everyone else. You will be validating yourself, and just know you're a legend. Just
you're a legend.
Be that boss that you know you are, but it will come with hard work. So don't be lazy, because then you won't get there either.
Great sum up. But yes, completely agree. So I'll do a little bit of a recap, because we really do want to make sure everyone's got the 8 common traits. But work out of a place of love, or like find the things that motivate you. Like follow your passion in a nice way of saying it. But on the second one is like you still have to show up when you don't feel like it. Like you still have to be willing to do the work when it matters the most and do the pieces that a lot of other people aren't willing to do. I'm biased, but I feel like that's one of the most important ones, is like showing up when you don't feel like it.
It has to be, because you're never going to show up otherwise. Yeah, then nothing gets done.
You're not going to feel like it most of the time.
That should be number one.
That should be number one. That's it. That's the whole podcast.
Just show up.
That's it. Everyone, anyways. don't over-identify with your title. Right, I think that's important. Like whatever you're trying to achieve, whatever you're trying to pursue, whether it's like studying a degree or excelling professionally at work or starting a business or building a social media presence, whatever it is, like remember that's not all of you, it's just a part of you. And there's so much more to you. And that helps you ride the highs and lows quite smoothly and not get too lost in the journey along the way. Number 4 was committing to continuous growth and mastery. So making sure that you're challenging your beliefs and really putting in the work to have that growth mindset too. Number 5 was being patient and committing to the long haul. So similar to the number 1 big one is like just being willing to do the reps for a very long period of time, right? We spoke about this in another podcast, but everything good takes so much longer than what you think. And when you can pre-frame it like that and mentally prepare yourself, I feel like you can do the years of work that it takes, because everyone wants everything in 8 weeks and it just doesn't work like that. Yep. Number 6 is don't take failure or success personally. Again, never too high, never too low. Number 7 was be self-validating. So rather than letting everyone else give you the ego boost and, you know, doing it for external gratification, I think that's the right framing, do it for yourself and do it for your own internal growth and the skills that you're building. And then number 8, just reinvent yourself. Like be okay with stepping into a new identity and challenging yourself in new ways to get somewhere that you haven't been.
Oh, it's exciting when you wrap it up like that.
Let's go. That's why I want to do it.
We are capable of anything.
Yes.
So there you go. Have a listen to this. Get inspired. Your life probably won't change immediately after listening to this podcast, reps. But just show up with a bit more of a smile on your face and know that you're awesome. Just embrace it. If you're enjoying the podcast, please leave us a 5-star review and hit follow so you can stay up to date with our podcast every week.